So here's the question. In discussion with devotees, one concern was raised, and this was by someone who desired to remain a lifelong brahmachari in the ashram. If we remain fully dependent with our future in the hands of ISKCON Wales, what happens if there's a change in management and direction or dissolution of ISKCON Wales? What will then happen to our future? Is this question based on it being unsurrendered and we should be able to put more faith in ISKCON Wales? But if the doubt remains, should they go into the church employee category? But what would be the status of someone who is unmarried in that category? Should they go into wife, even though they want to remain unmarried? Well, that's the setback. In Hungary, we have just this issue. What happens when a center closes? Is a devotee actually joining a center, or is the whole society in the country taking responsibility? So there, actually, we're doing it countrywide, which means that once we accept someone, once the society takes responsibility for someone as an individual, then that means that if the temple closes, someone else will take responsibility. The question is whether that person's services are required. Say he was, pujari, but there's no need for pujaris elsewhere. Then that devotee obviously has to be willing to do something else that people want. He's a preacher, a book distributor, or something. When the policy isn't enforced nationally, then you don't have the sort of the wealth and the strength of the entire yatra behind it. So then a person is taking the risk that it's not dependent on temple president, because the temple president can't change the policy. It has to be a constitutional thing. It's something that this is the way the yatra is run, and when a temple president comes in, he can't change the principles. You know, he can obviously add and refine it further, but more. But it's not a matter of surrender. It's a risk. It's a calculated risk. But then, but it's a calculated risk whether Manchester, Newcastle, Leicester, any of these will stay open. It's less of a risk for the manor in Soho Street, but it's a risk. So devotees are taking that risk. If they're not willing to go into that risk, then church employee, actually, Brother Seva sent me what was the right name for that, but I don't remember. Anyway, if they become a church employee, it's not really suitable for brahmachari to be in that category, because then he's getting paid. Brahmacharis don't get paid. Brahmacharis don't receive, brahmacharis are dependent. That's by the nature of brahmachari. A grihastha, they can vary. But brahmacharis, that's what it is. Brahmacharis, sannyasi, they don't have personal income. So then if someone's that, then he should accept, that's my... it seems like that's my nature, therefore I should get married. Because I can't live like a brahmachari, and you can't just be in white, you can't be a bachelor, that's not an ashram. It's either you're a brahmachari or you're a grihastha. Then, for a devotee who works for ISKCON Wales full-time, although this may be less than 40 hours per week, but they feel it's the max amount of work they can either physically or mentally cope with, so they have no other time for service, have no other income, and feel the amount of income they receive what they need to live on, can they be considered doing any service? Devotees who work for ISKCON Wales full-time. Well, I would say that full-time is, well, it depends. Well, are you talking about an employee here, or are you talking about a church employee, someone who's...
An employee.
He's an employee.
Yeah.
Well, that's up to the temple how much they value that person's work. So it's a job. He's getting a job, and it's up to the temple how much. Someone says it's only so much they can physically or mentally cope with. That's not the criteria. The criteria is, what's it worth to the temple? If it's worth it for someone to work 30 hours a week, 25, then they pay him that much. And because they're just paying for the value of what they're getting. So that's... But the church employee, he's like full on. He's... But if this is just a employee. One way I looked at it was that a devotee could be productive enough to warrant being paid a high wage. He can do $100 a day and 5 hours book distribution, which would give the employees can't be book distributors. You can't employ someone to distribute books. For they can be a church employee. I wish I'd remember what the name of that category was. Anyway, they can be a church employee because they're fully surrendered. They're living on the minimum, and they're a real representative of the society. People out there, generally speaking, this whole idea of just going out and individuals maintaining themselves by sankirtan is something that lacks integrity. That's not what sankirtan's about. Paying him less than he would take is still beneficial for us. But you have to take some loss. You have to be that there's a certain integrity to what different types of services people do. And therefore, it's not only just a matter of these categories, but there's also a list of what services they can do. For instance, an employee can't be a pujari. You can't pay a conditioned soul wages to worship the deities. Church employee can, because he's surrendered and he's getting the minimum in terms of maintenance, so that's fine. But someone says, well, you know, you pay me this much and I'll worship the deities. Pay people to worship deities. So it means it's not only the whole idea of the category is to actually clarify for devotees what situation they're in, make very clear what the rights and obligations are, but in turn it also means that there's a certain integrity that comes along with it, and that will mean that you may have less people going out on sankirtan, but you're not paying people to go out on sankirtan. Because you don't have paid people to do deity worship, because we don't believe that people should be paid to do deity worship. So, you know, it's not a matter of can we still make money for the temple, and an employee isn't giving 50%. I mean, otherwise, he may be, but then you're giving him a lot of money. But still, it's a matter of what type of work an employee can do. He can do accounts, he can wash pots, he can do temple cleaning, he can do this type of things, but he shouldn't do the type of things that people accept Brahmins to do, preachers to do, renounced people to do. Is a devotee ready to aspire for initiation if they're not willing to take the minimum from the temple? A devotee may be qualified to take initiation. I mean, I would stipulate that if they are employees, then they should give at least 10% or preferably 50% to the temple. Then they should donate. Because whether working for the temple or they're working for Tesco's is just a detail in the sense that they're being employed. So if they were working for Tesco's, they would give 10%. So if they're working for a temple, they should give at least 10%. They should donate, because they're just seeing it as a job. But they can be initiated if they're following the principles. What level of austerity and simplicity should a devotee practice to qualify for initiation? 16 rounds, the regulated principles, they get up early in the morning. More of a sign of a Brahmin's only apply for second initiation. Well, we spoke about that yesterday. Not Brahmin. I don't think you'd find many Brahmins in ISKCON. But Brahminical. People who are Brahminical. But people should be Brahminical. If they have absolutely no Brahminical inclination, Prabhupada indicated that they don't necessarily have to... people who, you know, just don't get up for the morning. People who don't worship deities. People who don't preach. They don't need... They don't need to get Brahminical initiation to go back to Godhead. And Brahmin really means someone who's representative of society. How much pressure should we push on initiating aspiring devotees to accept the minimum from us? It's not an issue of pressure. It's a matter of guna and karma. What's their nature? And how is it that they can most comfortably and best serve the society? So, I mean, I wouldn't put, you know, to accept the minimum. It's not. If someone wants to devote their lives to ISKCON full time, they have two ways of doing it. One is that, you know, they become a monk, and the other is that they become an employee, where the difference is that they receive a minimum maintenance, and they may have their own they receive minimum wage, and they may have their own assets, personal assets. But no one should be pressured to do anything. We should see what's their nature and how is that best for them, something that they can maintain. That's the whole problem of trying to, you know, pigeonhole people, is that they pop out after a certain while because they're in an unnatural situation. So allow them to do that which is natural for them. Don't force them. In the long run, it'll be better for ISKCON. So they don't have, they'll want it, those people who want to do that, and who we think, not only we want to pressure them into it, and we think if someone wants to do it, let the temple think, you're never going to do this. Just like recently we had one devotee, I won't mention his name, but you all know him, he knew Vajadam, and you know, he loves chanting. But, you know, he just, every once in a while, he just doesn't, you know, not regulated principles isn't the problem, just that he just wanted a certain level of freedom. He wanted to be able to go home whenever he wanted to go home and come back when he wanted to come back. And that's like being, it's not a sin, but that's like being going on for the last, you know, 7 years. And everyone likes him, but a certain amount have to say, but this isn't how, you know, brahmacharis live. They don't just like, you know, walk out the door whenever they want, and then, you know, whenever they come back, they come back. That means you want to be independent. So then be independent. But then independent means you maintain yourself. But you can't have both. You can't be independent, but, you know, the temple should take care of me. But they'll take care of you if you're fully dependent. So then, after a while, and it'll work out. Just someone has to, you know, readjust their life. They've got to figure out how they're going to live, and that they have to maintain themselves, get a job, and working for Dhananjaya, you know, selling silk. And may not be able to chant so much in the temple, but, you know, at least it's realistic. Otherwise, we just, this idea of force, it doesn't work. You know, it doesn't work. Force means, or not force, but people come and 5 years. 5 years brahmachari, 5 years brahmacharini. After that, he should know himself well enough, we should know him well enough, that he should then decide. And if there's any doubt, then he shouldn't be full time. Yes. Anything else? You could have just gone down in the parking lot and sat in the cars.
We're solely responsible for applying for ourselves, or allowing ourselves to be challenged individually.
Force for what?
Well, to sit comfortably according to our nature as we perceive it would mean that we may not necessarily be pushing the boundaries and achieving our potential.
That will be one of the liabilities or risks when devotees are just doing voluntary service for the temple. Whenever they can or however they can, because to go forward, there always has to be a certain degree of aspiration, a certain degree of pressure to be advancing in Krishna consciousness. There has to be a community of devotees that inspires devotees to do that. And of course that will be there. If devotees are living close to a temple, attending the morning program, then, you know, that will naturally be sort of inspiring. If they're hearing regularly, then the inspiration for that will be there. And when devotees isolate themselves, then it really gets lost. That's why, like in Budapest, I'm just encouraging everyone, now we bought the temple, we ain't not going anywhere for the next 30 years, everyone should move around the temple. If they don't, maintaining a progressive standard of Krishna consciousness, it will be more or less unheard of. Live near the temple where you can just walk the morning program, or be in the association of devotees, or see the deities daily. That gives that type of regular inspiration. People are on their own. No one's that advanced that they're going to do that. They're going to advance on their own. They're very rare souls. And even if they advance, one thing is advanced, the other is actually we being clued in about what Krishna consciousness is about. You see people who are remote, their knowledge and awareness of institution, devotee mechanics, just the things that are ABC for a new bhakta after 3 months, it's really just like I was shocked when we had lunch the other day and I saw this lifelong devotee, newly initiated, not know how to just use her right hand in eating, sitting around a table full of cultured Indian people. Simple thing like that. How do you tear chapati with just your right hand? I usually know when I go home programs. When I go in the bathroom, I figure out everything. If there's no bottle and only toilet paper, these people are really gone. If the toothbrushes are all in one cup, not Brahmins.
I hope you looked in our cup of envy.
I didn't. I just had faith. Because those are Brahminical things, you know, to come, you know, let's taste the salt water somewhere. Start going over there because I don't, although there's not many people, I don't know how long the queue is. I don't want to get stuck in on this queue. And this is British Airways, take off your shoes.
Yeah.
And the history how we got there, so it's by force of circumstance, you know, what the policy is and how it goes. It's something that needs to be discussed. You know, by force of circumstance you can do anything. But I don't know whether it's and you can adjust things if necessary. You have to see whether that's something that is still like that, circumstance still remains, or whether they've changed. Anyway, that's a whole long story. The only thing is that for conditioned souls, their behavior will reflect their consciousness. You can't say Shukadeva Goswami walks around naked. I can do that also. We can't, because our walking around naked means that we're overwhelmed by passion. So anyway, but that's another sort of separate discussion.